The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning. Once again, it's 8 o'clock Central Time. Dave Krieger with you here, April 4th, 2023. Thank you for your service, sir. We appreciate you coming on the show. I'm talking to Lieutenant Colonel retired Charles Faint. He has a book out that apparently Epoch Times took notice of. It's called Battlefields. And I told you that he was going to be on the show, folks. So thank you for your service right out of the gate. I was in during NAM, but, you know, we don't talk about that. but I'm sure you got lots to talk about, too. I mean, you've interviewed so many people for this epic venture that you've been on here. And this is a project called Battlefields. What inspired you to write this?
Well, Dave, thank you for your service, and thanks for having me on the show. And I hope we do talk about your service in Vietnam, because I think there's a lot of parallels between what you experienced and what we experienced in Afghanistan. But in answer to your question, we've been partnered with Epoch Times for a couple of months now on this Battlefields project, like you talked about. And the reason we got into it is because of the therapeutic value that so many vets and first responders find in simply having the opportunity to tell their stories. So I've been involved with my blog called The Havoc Journal for about 10 years now. We started in 2013. My business partners, Leo Jenkins and Marty Scoveland, and I put this thing together. It's been running strong ever since. And I don't know, about 6 months ago, a fellow vet named Boone Cutler, who's very active in the veteran advocacy space, approached me and said, hey, the Epoch Times wants to do a project that allows vets and first responders to tell their stories. Are you in? And I said, yeah, of course. So that's how we got into it, and that we've been going strong ever since.
That is amazing that you could even get people to sit down and discuss some of these things, because some of them have been very traumatic. And I noticed in all of the different things that that you put together, as far as, you know, the project itself and the number of people that you talk to, because I'm looking at the show notes here. You know, you're talking about Colin Powell, Iraq, 20 years later. Has anybody put two and two together and figured out this weapons of mass destruction thing? I mean, weapons of mass destruction? I mean, has that affected anybody's mindset here? I mean, we could talk about this now, obviously, because people were. Otherwise, you wouldn't have this project going on. They had to. Were there any revelations that you discovered that you weren't aware of before you wrote this?
Well, there's so many things I wasn't aware of, because that particular article you're talking about, I co-authored that with my best friend and business partner, Mike Warnock. So Mike and I, between the two of us, spent 5 tours in Iraq. Mike was in the Air Force and the Army as a nurse in both of those. And I was an intelligence officer with a couple different special operations units on my 3 tours. And the perspectives, of course, are very different from being part of a manhunting task force and being a nurse putting people back together on both sides of that conflict at the end. And the reason we decided to write that is just the 20th anniversary of Colin Powell's now infamous speech advocating war on the pretext of weapons of mass destruction happened right as the time we decided to write it. And we, of course, we have a slightly different perspectives. As someone who served in those wars and found out, of course, that what we were being told wasn't accurate, at the time that decision was made, at the time that Colin Powell was making those comments, even in retrospect, I think that he made a rational decision, even though it was wrong. So I'm not mad at Colin Powell about doing that. I do think it was extremely foolish, even without the benefit of hindsight, to start wanting to take a bite of Iraq before we finished our Afghanistan. You never want to fight a war on two fronts, even with the military as capable as the United States. But I think in Iraq in particular, that the political situation was such that we were never going to be allowed to win, especially when we came in and we engaged in debathification, basically getting rid of everyone who knew how to run a city, disbanding the Iraqi army, and a string of other just really bad decisions that we made that would make sure that we would never set the conditions for success in Iraq, and we never did.
Well, I mean, of course, that created a political vacuum. Everybody knows it. And now look at it. I mean, you've literally, I mean, all this unrest from Afghanistan, which is another thing that you wrote about. You had a former Army Ranger, Mike Helvington, working yeah. with you on that. The big thing is we lost 13 people the day that everybody pulled out. We gave up Bagram Air Force Base, which the Chinese are running right now. The billions of dollars of weaponry that we left behind, I'm just like scratching my head. And then these 13 bodies come back and Biden's sitting there looking at his watch. I mean, Commander in Chief, I hate to be disrespectful, but, you know, I think you and I both took the same oath when we raised our hand and said, poem, defend, you know, what was that? So, I mean, you're talking to people who were boots on the ground that dedicated themselves to serving this country for a reason. And a lot of people went in, and like in Nam, they didn't know why they were there. And no. 50 years later, we are still suffering from Agent Orange.
Right.
I got tumors I can't explain. They shut down Fort Ord. Chemical contamination. It's just like all this stuff. And I mean, I'm sorry, folks. I'm not, that may be too much information for you. But see, we all started out raising our right hand and became U.S. government property for a time. And see, the thing is that our first responders, that everybody's writing about this. And if you have questions that you would like to ask of Lieutenant Colonel Charles Faint, and this is your big opportunity. We have a toll-free number, 844-769-2944 is the number to call if you have questions, because, I mean, the perspectives that you're getting from people inside the military between then and now. I mean, then we were called baby killers. Now, I mean, this is why Paul, you know, wrote, Hardcastle wrote 19, and they had Frank Reynolds, and they got in a whole bunch of legal trouble because they used Frank Reynolds' likeness and voices in the song. And I played that, as a matter of fact, on the show, because people need to understand that none of them received a hero's welcome, and we were spit on and called baby killers. But the bigger problem, and they prosecuted people for pointing a gun at a guy's head, you know, that's why we had Me Lie. I mean, there's some things that you just can't include in battlefields, because half of these conflicts we had our hands tied behind our back. I mean, you're a senior intelligence officer, and you were, I mean, certainly you as a lieutenant colonel and being in that particular position knew a lot more than you can divulge in this project, right?
For sure, for sure.
I mean, I'm not trying to do a tell-all here.
Well, there have certainly been plenty of tell-alls written, not by me, and they never will be. But I think we're all kind of held hostage to some degree to our own experiences. So, yes, I got to experience a lot. I got to see a lot. I got to be a fly on the wall quite a bit. Of course, there's a lot that I didn't know and I didn't experience. And I was thinking when you were talking, Dave, about watches, and I remember that the Taliban and any number of other insurgent groups would say, the Americans have the watches, but we have the time. So they basically waited us out. And that was an unfortunate situation. Also, I think anyone who served in Afghanistan, certainly anyone who worked with the Afghan military or government, knew that it was going to fall apart the moment we left. But I don't think anybody knew, or at least no one that was willing to be extremely vocal about it, knew that how bad it was going to be. And I can't imagine it being worse, with people falling off of airplanes, with women handing their babies over barbed wire, with Americans getting killed, and then the Afghan people, of course, caught in the middle. So I think that was tough for a lot of veterans. In fact, that was the primary driver for me deciding to retire when I did. I still love the Army. I'm very grateful for it. Army did a lot of great things for me. But I didn't think that I could do it anymore with the situation and where I was in life. So that's why I got out. But yeah, a lot of veterans are hurt about that. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. I think there's a lot of similarities and overlaps between what your generation experienced and what mine did as well, based on Afghanistan and Vietnam.
Wow. It's amazing the perspectives you get from various ranks, because we had another officer who obviously went public, and he was currently serving. If you remember that little debacle, and they
yeah.
jailed him. You know, because he spoke up and said, hey, look, we did this all wrong. And so I don't know. I'm just like I said, I look back in history. I look back at what happened during our wartime versus your wartime, and why you shouldn't be there, why we didn't know why we were there. And of course, you know, I was in ASA, and we don't talk about stuff that we did in ASA because we all had top secret crypto clearances. But anyway, aside from that, they call it another stupid asshole. That's the acronym for it. The military term is like Army has no reverse gear. Their Jeeps had no reverse gear. That's a Marine joke. I've heard that from so many Marines that were friends of mine. But anyway, it's just it's the funny parts about life that really, when you put it in perspective, wars are crazy. Half the people, they get there, they get boots on the ground, and they're like, why are we here? They start analyzing stuff. Is that what your first responders were telling you?
So
that all of a sudden we're having these awakenings?
Yeah, so that was certainly my experience. So I went to Iraq 3 times, as I mentioned, Afghanistan 4 on deployments and then numerous side trips for various things in between. And I also want to reiterate that these are very short, very safe deployments. I was a mid-grade intelligence officer in the National Soft Task Force, so my deployments are very safe. I never killed anyone directly. I hope a lot of people did end up dead based on the information that I gave to our operators, but my experience was very different. So being in those units and in those situations, I got exposed to a lot of strategic thinking by some of the best leaders that our country has ever offered, including General McChrystal, General Petraeus, those types of folks. And I just had a lot of time to think. And I realized probably about my third or fourth deployment, like I said before, we were never going to be in a position politically to win militarily because the war in Iraq wasn't in Iraq, it was in Iran. The war in Afghanistan was never in Afghanistan, it was always in Pakistan. And we weren't willing to do anything about that. And for a number of reasons, like I said before, I'm just speaking from my own experience. I've never been a strategic level politician, so I'm sure there are many good reasons why we did what we did. But I couldn't see it. So I decided that I wanted to do something else that I might be able to help influence the next generation of leaders to make better decisions than the ones that we were making in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's why I got out. I got picked up to teach at West Point, which is not where I went to school. I went to school at a place called Georgia Military College and Mercer University down in Georgia. And the Army paid to send me to Yale University for 2 years to study international relations. I came and taught at West Point, and I loved that. And I pretty much worked there until I retired, trying to make the next generation make better decisions than the ones we made.
Well, we'll get back to what's happened to West Point, too, because there's a lot of weird stuff going on there as well, as you probably are aware. Chad, in North Carolina, you are on the phone with retired Lieutenant Colonel Charles Faint. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. And thank you for your courage and your service and doing what you did for whatever ends you discovered. I guess the burning question I have, heard it over and over said that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. However, in my travels, I've talked to a number of people. And there was one individual I encountered who worked where I used to work, and he was, I believe, a sergeant in artillery. And he told me when I asked him about that question, he said that there were munitions, I don't remember what type, that they found, but he said on them in the report, he told me, that said, it was stamped made in the USA. Is that accurate or partly accurate? Or did the guy know what he was talking about?
First of all, thanks for calling in. This is the first time I've ever done a radio show like that, and I was wondering what the call-in questions would be, and I'm very grateful that my first call was a very thoughtful one and actually something I know a little bit about. So like I wrote about in the article that Dave and I were just talking about, one of the reasons we thought Saddam Hussein had WMD is because he wanted people to think it. And it's open source. You can go look it up. Saddam Hussein wanted people to think that he had weapons of mass destruction because he didn't want to get his butt kicked again by Iran. And he also wanted to use it to threaten Saudi Arabia. He also assumed that we would know that he didn't have them because we're America and we know everything. Of course, that didn't turn out to be what it was. Now, there absolutely were chemical weapons in Iraq. You can look up any number of stories. I remember one of the times when I was in Iraq, the insurgents who came to power because we debathified and got rid of the Iraqi army were using old mustard gas artillery shells to attack Americans with. It wasn't very effective because they just didn't know how to employ it. It was very old. But yes, there were chemical weapons there. And yes, they are considered WMD. The thing is, it's not on the scale or the type that we expected when we went into war, go to war. So if you think about how dysfunctional a country like Iraq was even before we went in there and crushed it in 2003, there's all kind of stuff everywhere. Even if someone make a good faith effort to get rid of all of their chemical weapons, you're going to find some in some depot somewhere, and that's exactly what they did. Now, as far as the Made in America, I don't know anything about that. I certainly never encountered it. However, America did support Iraq very heavily in the war against Iran, in which both sides used chemical weapons. So I can't say definitively yes or no on that. But yes, there were some limited WD found in Iraq, just not on the scale that we expected before we went in.
Hopefully that answered your question. I mean, I get where you're going with Chad. Chad, I get where you're going with this Made in the USA. I mean, we'd like to see everything over here made in the USA, but it's made in China. And the problem is now, I mean, I'm scratching my head going, you know, that was a legitimate question, but Made in the USA. See, there was an explanation for why that military shell may have been there. The other thing that we always think about, because we have a lot of conspiracy theorists that listen to the show, is that they were planted. You know, we had to bring them in and
I'm not unwilling to consider that they were there, because my understanding was we gave them to, I guess, Iraq when they were fighting Iran.
Right.
Entirely possible.
Yeah. And I remember seeing that as a kid on TV, all the news coverage of that.
Yeah, so what's your follow-up?
I guess my other question, since, you know, you have the experience of the strategic thinking and the way they seem to set things up, I'm very concerned about the surpassing of nuclear armaments by China and Russia, surpassing the United States, and it seems like our government critters are just sort of stalling for time until a crisis erupts.
Finland just joined NATO, and they're bordering Russia, and this is what Russia's been trying to avoid. So, I mean, I think you're trying to get outside the box here get a strategic military mind to extrapolate on that thought process. Go ahead, Alan, or Charles, go ahead.
Yeah, so first of all, I think you're absolutely right to be concerned, but I think you might be concerned about the wrong things. So I am absolutely concerned about the rise of China and Russia. I just came back from a work trip to Honduras a couple weeks ago, and one of the things we were discussing when I was down there was how the majority of the countries that still recognize Taiwan are located in Central and South America. And then 2 days after I got back, I found out that Honduras had withdrawn their recognition. So, yes, these countries are very much a concern to us. Nuclear weapons are always a concern, but they don't need to use them to get what they want out of the world. Nobody nuked Honduras. No one threatened to nuke Honduras to get them to switch sides. So economic and political power, in my mind, are things we need to be much more concerned about right now than raw military might. So thanks for your calls and questions. I appreciate that, Chad.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Chad. Dave in New York, you're on the phone with retired Lieutenant Colonel Charles Faint. Go ahead.
Yeah, Charles, I'm by no means any expert, but I do recall Dr. Doug Rokee, R-O-K-E-E. In fact, Joyce had DVDs out on this, but he actually filmed inside the underground bunkers, and it was some sort of loophole they got. You know, all these different things that were banned were sent to Iraq to be used against, you know, their enemies and whatnot. But then they had him blow them up. So all of a sudden, these our soldiers start getting their beepers going off on wearing their gas masks and stuff, and were ordered not to. So they're breathing all this crap, and it's blowing, you know, the wind's blowing the wrong way onto our own troops, and they were told to don't worry about it, you know, something's faulty or something. Well, you can only put them on once, I think, and they only last for a little bit of time. They don't, you know, they're not a 24-hour mask or whatever. But, you know, to see the video and to hear the words coming out of people's mouths, I think Doug's passed on now. He had a hard time even proving he was there, because once he came out with the stuff, they said he never served. And his records were destroyed. He had a hard time going through the, you know, the proper channels just to get basic care. You know, he fought it till the end. But, you know, that's all. And I apologize if I you know.
No, I mean, you know, this is why we have freedom of speech here in America, Dave. You know, unlike the gag order we're expecting this morning against former President Trump, which, like I said, I have not held with all the stuff that has been going on here. I would not be the least bit surprised if Bragg didn't recommend they take his passport and throw him put him in Rikers until trial. They're doing it to J6 defendants. Their exculpatory evidence has been withheld. I don't know. We have that question, that follow-up question in my mind is what veterans who have served this country must be thinking right now with all of this going on and our own government looking like it's turning in on itself. From a political perspective, does the battlefields, has this revealed anything to you regarding our own country and its behavior?
Hey, and both great questions. So I want to address the situation in Iraq first, and it leads right into what we're talking about with battlefield. So with regard to that specific situation with the destruction of the chemical weapons, I don't know anything about that. It sounds very interesting. You gave me something to look up after the show, which I appreciate. But I'll also say that I've personally never experienced in 27 years any tactical commander not allowing their troops to protect themselves from a potential threat. So, for example, if my soldiers' chemical radiological detectors went off, we would immediately take whatever action we could. I mean, why wouldn't you if you got it on you? But you're absolutely right. The filters on those masks only last so long, so you need to get out there so you can rotate them out and get clean and everything. But I've never seen that. I don't know anything about it, and I would be very upset to learn if anything like that happened. So going now to the battlefields part, we do talk politics on battlefields. Of course, we're part of Epoch Times. We're proud to be part of that network. Yeah. And everything that we do in the military is political because politics drives the military. Military solves political problems when diplomacy fails. But what we try to do is be nonpartisan as much as possible. For example, you'll see many things on battlefields that are written from a variety of perspectives. And certainly my own organization, the Havoc Journal, that's the feeder for most of the content that comes to Epoch Times. We publish on the left and the right because we think that casts as broad a net as possible to unite the veteran community instead of trying to split it up. Now, vets tend to be more conservative. I certainly am a conservative, and I'm proud of that. I don't hide it. But I like also to consider a wide range of views. So, yeah, we'll talk politics all day on battlefields and in Havoc Journal. But we try to keep it as nonpartisan as possible and as respectful as possible so we can all have a space to discuss it, because those spaces to discuss issues like this are becoming fewer and much more far between.
Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs. Dave, we appreciate your call. Any follow-up?
No, but I'll do my homework on my end and try to find out the video. You know, hopefully I didn't lend it out because I never get those things back.
Yeah, I know. They keep them. They watch them 50 times just so it's so good. Yeah, we appreciate your call, Dave. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Dave. I'm sure you're paying attention to what's going on in your own backyard this morning, like we all are. We'll all be tuning into mainstream media to watch the furtherance of the Schiff show. They may even have cameras in the courtroom. We don't know. A lot of this, as far as military leaders and commanders and chiefs go, does battlefields get into the differences between the commanders in chief and who was better or who was not?
No, we've never addressed that, and we probably won't. So as you know, because you are in the military as well, when we're on active duty, we can't make disparaging comments against any number of people, including the commander chief. Yeah,
obviously.
For very obvious reasons.
Now, you'd end up in the stockade. What are you, some sort of communist? Off with you. You know. All right, wait, what do you mean you're dealing purple microdot? I mean, this is what half of my platoon back in Nam, I mean, they were all stoned. Seriously, the drug problem in Nam was crazy, and a lot of the platoons in basic training it was a constant. They were smoking pot, even in the States, before they went over there, and I just, you know, the revelations, and I'm not sure, like I said, we were talking about revelations before, but this is the thing. You have, besides Army Ranger Kelvington, you've got Eamon Coppell, why you want cops to have a warrior's mindset. Now, this would be having to do with MPs and law enforcement and enforcement of stuff. I mean, they came out with Good Morning Vietnam. That is exactly the MOS that I wanted was Aparts. I actually wanted to be Adrian Cronauer, but never got that. Ended up in ASA for some strange reason. They told me after I'd signed up, oh, that MOS is closed. And my dad is like, oh, just go ahead, go on in. It's all right. It'll be fine. And it's like, Dad, if you only knew what was going on, this is not the days of World War II when you were behind right. the lines in England. It doesn't work like that anymore, Dad. So, you know, we're finding out, you know, the veterans, are you finding out more veterans these days, Charles, are suspicious based on what they're telling you, suspicious about the way things are going, and they're trying to literally go after veterans not owning guns? I mean, all of this diatribe that we're hearing these days is kind of disturbing. Is any of that reflected in battlefields?
Yeah, so first, you asked a lot of really great questions here, and I want to tackle them in order. So you mentioned Ayman Cafel, my friend Ayman, who's a great story, typical of what we try to represent on battlefields. In fact, he was the very first person that I did a podcast with battlefields. Ayman and I have known each other for years. He immigrated to the United States. His family is Lebanese, but he spent some time in Africa and in Lebanon during the Civil War and immigrated to the United States, enlisted, served in the army in Iraq, had to get medically discharged, and then became a police officer in Massachusetts, where he is to this day. He and his wife and his son live in Mass. And Ayman has had so many great experiences. He's such a deeply thoughtful and kind person that I had to feature his articles on battlefields 100%, because he has a foot in both worlds. He is a veteran, and he's a police officer and a proud American. So I can't think of a better person to have. In fact, you should have him on your show, Dave, down the road when you have some time. He's an amazing person to speak with. In fact, he's got a book coming out soon called The Resolute Path, which we're helping him publish, to take these lessons like the article you just mentioned and put them out to the world because they need to hear them.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, and see, now, because we've only got a couple of minutes left here before the break, where is it just through the Epoch Times that you can get this work?
Absolutely. So the Epoch Times is the primary place for a battlefield. So if you go to the Epoch Times, you go to the masthead, bottom right corner is a battlefields link. Or if you just want to go to Google and type in battlefields, Epoch Times, the site will pop up. It's got articles, it's got podcasts. And we welcome any number of folks that want to write in and talk to us, either on a podcast or send us something to consider for publication, from first responders to veterans and their spouses, because I don't think we hear enough from those types of folks.
And no, of course, I would like to find out about 9/11 too, because there were first responders there and we lost a lot of them in 9/11. And we've had people on the show that are physicists and structural engineers. And they said those buildings didn't collapse. Those buildings were detonated. They fell on themselves. And we've had people talking about WTC-7 and there was nobody in the building. And BBC was reporting it a half an hour before it went down. And it's like, okay, you know, there's some really weird things going on here. And I think, you know, sometimes I look at the Epoch Times and I'm like, okay, you guys, you're only scratching the surface of what's going on here. We can talk about Chinese spy balloons all day, but that doesn't hold a candle to the apprehension that people are feeling these days. But anyway, Charles Faint, retired Lieutenant Colonel, we appreciate you being on the show, and good luck with battlefields. And this will be a continuation kind of thing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you. God bless you, and thank you for your service.
God bless you. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. We'll be back at the other side of the break, folks, with Clayton Llewellyn from Heaven's Harvest Emergency Survival Food, why people are buying it, that and guns and ammo. Stay with us.
20 years, the Power Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars, and when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, you know, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Two minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, we're on the last segment here of the Power Hour for today, which is Tuesday. Yep, I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. You remember that Wimpy from Popeye? Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. We've got some food stories to talk about today, especially the executive order that Biden just signed about making bioengineered food. Yum. Remember we were talking about bug food? You know, how about bug ice cream, Joe? Would you like some bug ice cream? Wait till they start making ice cream out of bugs. And Joe, maybe will think, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. We have vanilla bugs, chocolate bugs, strawberry bugs. Yeah. And that'll drive you buggy just even thinking about it. The reason we're bringing that up, and I've got some other articles that I want to share with our next guest here on the Power Hour. He's one of our affiliate sponsors. And this is Clayton Llewellyn. He's been on the show before. He is from Heaven's Harvest Emergency Survival Food, which is one of the partners that we have here on the Power Hour. Thank you so much, Clayton, for joining us again.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So now we're into the era of bioengineered food, which some of us have bought some of this food and looked at the labels, and it says bioengineered, and I'm like, not getting a real good feeling about this. You know, it may say non-GMO, but bioengineered means it probably was processed in a lab somehow, and we don't know how much of it's bioengineered because it's never disclosed. We have been through some trying times on this show because of certain products that came out, and there were certain disputes going on about whether it was bioengineered, whether it was GMO, whether it was organic. and people bought thinking that it was organic. And so this is always when we see something new that's out, which we carry, by the way, at the Power Hour. We want to discuss the fact of the principle of saying it's organically grown or produced and why that is so, because we have found that some of our guests that have been on the show, Clayton, have said that they've come on here and talked all about, and see, I'm bringing up our thought processes out here because you callers that have been on the show and have said, hey, we've got a situation here because the, you know, organisms, organic, how it was all grown, it's nothing but a fad, it's nothing but a gimmick, and it's not really organic, and it costs too much, and it's expensive. And see, I've got articles in today's news that we're talking about when things were created back about 1940, from what we're hearing now from Ronnie Cummins and people like that. Food was always organic back in the 40s before pesticides and all this other crap came up. You obviously, because you've been in this for so long, Clayton, you know about the history of this stuff. Can you enlighten us a little on where we've come from?
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head right there. You know, back in the day, our grandparents, all they ate was organic. You know, they were more green than we could ever dream of being. But to feed the masses, they've developed genetically modified foods. You know, it's the garbage we're eating. We're wondering where the cancers are coming from. You know, I worked on a farm in Florida, and that's when it first piqued my interest as to what was really going on in the food industry. But there was a fleet of tractors that sprayed the field 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, spraying Roundup on them. And it was crazy. You'd come back the next day and everything in that field would be dead except for the plant. And that's when I first started learning about Roundup Ready crops, which is most of the stuff we grow in this country today. You know, they've been genetically modified that they can, you can spray Roundup on them 7 days a week and it doesn't kill the crop, but it'll kill everything else around it. How much of that Roundup is ending up in our produce? You know, that's the Roundup is the active ingredient. Roundup is the same stuff we were spraying in Vietnam to kill the jungles. You know, so we're spraying this stuff on our food 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we wonder why we're having so many problems.
Well, it's glyphosate. So, and we know it, and we've had people on the show talking about it, and all our farm friends like Darlene in Indiana talks about it. She understands glyphosate. We've had Dr. Stephanie Seneff on the show. She's talked about glyphosate. So, you know, knowing this, and then we come out with a new organic product, which people are going to take an interest in, and they're going to buy this. They're going to go today to the Power Mall, which opens right now. As a matter of fact, it's open, and they're going to be inquiring about the Heaven's Harvest Emergency Survival Food Organic Kit, which we now have. And, of course, it's drop shipped, and you can order it directly through the Power Hour. Just by calling 877-817-9829. And this is a 62-serving organic freeze-dried food kit. And it has oatmeal, 20 servings in two pouches. It's got organic pasta primavera in two pouches, 12 servings. Pineapple chipotle chili, two pouches, 12 servings. White cheddar broccoli soup. Now, I'm telling you something. I have had the Heaven's Harvest cheddar broccoli soup, and I've actually embellished it. I used one less cup of water, and I cooked some broccoli and cut up broccoli crowns and diced them up real good and threw them in the soup, because you can embellish these products. Just because they come in a wrapper doesn't mean that's all you have to eat. You can literally embellish them, and I'm telling you what, this stuff is amazing. It tastes wonderful. And now we have a white cheddar broccoli organic version of it, and I have to ask the simple question, what makes them organic?
Well, it's all the ingredients inside have been certified by the FDA to be organically grown. They're not sprayed with chemicals and pesticides. You know, they're grown naturally is what's certifying it as an organic bucket. But, you know, Dave, it's like it's kind of, again, this is kind of one of those things that, you know, I don't ever want to scare people through fear or talk about anything like that or, you know, sell a product that way. But there's so many instances in the last couple of years where this stuff has been needed. You know, we've had people asking for years if we did organic, and I never wanted to get into the organic because I was afraid, like everybody else too, that, hey, you know, just because it says organic, is it really organic? And I'm sure you've seen all the things, all the headlines that everybody's getting busted selling organic products.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
had this in the, we've had it tested. You know, it's FDA certified, so we're good to go on this bucket. But, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now in this world that you just don't know. You know, there's people in Sierra Nevada a couple months ago, well, not even a couple months ago, that would never imagine they'd get that much snow. And there they were on top of a mountain with nothing to eat. You know, I was telling somebody a couple weeks ago, it amazed me how many phone calls we got back when COVID hit. And they were from the older generation that were petrified to go to the grocery store, and understandably so. But there we were, like, I mean, we had hundreds of phone calls, people calling saying, you know, this is, I never thought we'd have to use this stuff, and I hope they never had to use it, but there they were using this food to avoid going to the grocery store. So it's kind of one of those things, you never know, but if the situation arises, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Right, that's a truth bomb that we've been trying to tell people. So this is why we are now carrying it. This is from Heaven's Harvest Emergency Survival Food. It's the 62-serving organic freeze-dried food kit. Now, the shelf life is the same?
Yep, still got a 25-year shelf life on it. Just keep it stored in a cool, dry place. Stick it in your closet, you know, stick it in the basement. Just keep it out of direct sunlight, and you get 25 years out of it.
Right, and of course, when you open it, you've got to use it up fairly soon, within a year.
Well, the bucket is just a container. You can open the bucket and look at the packages. All the food is sealed in Mylar foil packages. So the packages, I like to tell everybody, think of them as like a bag of chips. If once you open the package and you only want to eat half the meal, it kind of stores like a bag of chips. If you leave that bag of chips sitting outside overnight opened up, it's going to be bad the next morning. If you close that bag up real good and, you know, stick it somewhere cool and dry, it'll last up to a month once they're opened. But the bucket is just a container. You can open the bucket up and look at everything inside. That's not going to affect the shelf life at all.
Right. And see, the thing is the shelf life has a lot to do with whether we have electricity or not, because this is another thing that people are worried about and are facing. And the fear has been put out there that is highly likely. And we've had politicians that have told us it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we're going to suffer catastrophic power outage events where we don't have electricity to cook with. We're forced to cooking on campfires. We're forced to eat the food that's in the refrigerator that we already have consumed or have prepared, and it's sitting in there before it spoils. If we don't have some sort of emergency backup generator, then there's the point in time where the emergency backup, if you don't have any kind of solar array or something that is there for a backup to keep foods refrigerated and contained, you're going to end up cooking the entire product itself and trying to consume as much of it as possible and figuring out ways to store it, like Grandma and Grandpa used to do way back when. And see, that's why I brought up the fact that Ronnie Cummins put out this article this morning through Joe Mercola, Dr. Mercola, about the fact of raising organic food, and it was all organic in 1940, and how times have changed. So this is one of the reasons why we're having Clayton on the show, folks. If you have questions before you buy, all right, rather than call the Power Hour and ask us questions at the Power Mall, the Power Mall, the operators are there to take your order, okay? And the Power Mall is open right now if you want to call and you want to order. You want to go online, you want to order. But you need to ask Clayton these questions, and that's why the phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. Before you go on and you order this morning, call the show and ask the legitimate questions. That's what we're here for.
You know, Dave, you just said something, that how times have changed. Think about two or three generations ago. I can think about when I was growing up. I mean, we had gardens. We hunted for our food. We grew up poor, but we were self-sufficient. You know, at the end of every summer, we were canning everything in the garden. There was a root cellar. I mean, I remember walking into the basement, and it was an old house, but it was built on a dirt basement. And there were potatoes down there that would last for the year. You know, everything was canned. We could support ourselves. In the matter of a couple generations, there's very few people out there anymore that are self-sufficient. And even a lot of these folks living in these urban areas or in the rural areas that think, you know, I can take care of myself. Think about that real hard. If the power goes out tomorrow, if your cell phone goes out, if the internet goes out, if the grocery store isn't open, how long can you really take care of yourself for? And I'll bet a lot of people, if they were honest with that answer, would be shocked.
Well, the thing is, too, you got to be able to grow veggies, which is why we have the Heaven's Harvest seed kits. They're in stock as well. And see, one of the reasons, that's why I said, call the show if you got questions, because all of these are going to be problematic if and when all this stuff goes down. So this is one of the things, and see, because construction has changed. We say store in a cool, dry place, preferably in the dark. But see, they've all gone now to making, certain areas of the country, you can't have basements. We can't have those basements. Like, you know, we can't have those root cellars. I mean, that's how times have changed. In two generations, we've become so convenient. We don't have adequate storage facilities to keep this stuff. We don't have that underground root cellar to store all those vegetables. I remember seeing root cellars of old where they would hang vegetables in there and they would stay there pretty much the whole year, just like you were talking about, Clayton.
Yeah.
So this is something that, you know, because construction has changed, times have changed, and because of the fact we don't have cool basements, and see, some of these cool basements, they have to have ways to keep the humidity out of them because some of them are damp, some of them risk flooding. I mean, there's some sensical issues here that you have to address if you're going to store long-term food. I mean, we've stored the stuff under our bed in an air-conditioned home. And, of course, if now you have no electricity and there's no air conditioning, you know, then you have to ask yourself, okay, how are we going to plan for this? How long? It's like you don't keep opening and closing the refrigerator door, folks. I mean, it doesn't work like that. I mean, there's common sense things that we have to address, and the long-term food storage is all part of it. And now I want to talk specifically, you don't have to refrigerate these foods.
I don't want to confuse people either with a cool, dry place. If you've got a basement, they're sealed in Mylar foil pouches. You don't want to submerge them in water, but if the power goes out and you've got them stored in the basement, they'll be fine. Because they're in Mylar foil pouches, you know, the moisture is not going to get into them. You just don't want to submerge them in the river and then let them sit there for a year. So anywhere cool and dark will be just fine. You don't want to set them outside. What you're trying to avoid is sudden temperature changes. Like a garage is not the best place, where in the wintertime it can be freezing, in the summertime it can be 100 degrees. Fluctuations like that are hard on it. But if you can stick it in the basement that, you know, stays 60 to 70 degrees all year, that's a terrific place to keep them. Even in your house, you know, if you can keep your house above freezing and below 90 degrees, they'll store just fine.
Right. And the other thing that I want to stress on people is about recipes. Now, there's 62 servings of organic food in this bucket, breakfast, lunch, dinner varieties, enough calories to last one person 7 days, 13,060 calories. They've actually counted them for you. And you don't need refrigeration. They're individually sealed in 9 Mylar foil pouches. It's 1 4-gallon stackable bucket, which handles, of course, for convenient transportation and storage. And if you need to order one of these and you don't want the Heaven's Harvest organic food or any other Heaven's Harvest packaging or labeling on the box, you need to let us know. That's a special order item that they have to prepackage. We've had that instance before where it gets delivered and the neighbors all go, oh, look what they're getting. Now we know where to go get our food when the power goes out. See, so they don't want that because they live in a neighborhood or they're victims of package crime. I can understand that. But all the food is non-GMO and it's made here in the United States of America. That we can tell you. Now, if you have no questions, you know, like I said, not the things, because the fact that these are new, which is why we're having Clayton on the show, you have the opportunity to call and ask whatever questions we have not covered. I try to ask everything because I have bought other people's products. I have been very satisfied with like certain buttermilk pancake mixes that I've seen that we've used, that the pancakes are great. They have powdered honey. They have powdered butter. There's all sorts of stuff. You know, this is one thing that Heaven's Harvest doesn't have is all the junk fillers like the orange drinks and all the other stuff. I mean, that's all filler food. And see, we've tried to steer away from that at Heaven's Harvest, which is, you know, why Clayton is on the show to explain all of this stuff, being an affiliate. Go ahead.
And Dave, that's what got me into this business. You know, like I said, years ago when we were working on the farms in Florida, I was seeing what they're spraying on the crops. And then we had just had kids and I didn't want them eating that stuff. So that kind of got me into the heirloom seeds and grow it organically. And then it couldn't have been 6 months later, a hurricane blew through. And, you know, at a certain point in your life, when a hurricane comes through Florida, you're more interested in grabbing a case of beer and going to hang out with your buddies on the beach. Well, at that point, we had just started a family, and it became apparent that I was responsible for, you know, other people now. And I had ordered some food from one of the other companies out there. And when it got to my house and I started going through it, it was garbage. It was absolute garbage. I started adding up calories, and what they said was a year's worth of food was barely 3.5 months worth of food. It was full of rice. It was full of beans. It was full of drink mixes. It was full of puddings. Nobody regulates a serving size. Nobody. So what they were saying is you just needed 3 servings of food a day, a breakfast, lunch, and a dinner. And what they failed to tell you was that serving size may only be a tablespoon or a teaspoon of food, not nearly enough to live off of. If you have survival food, you may want to check it out to make sure that, or to see how much you really do have. Because, like I said, some of these companies they're not selling you what they're telling you they're selling you. So check it out and make sure that, you know, if you think you've got a year's worth of food, that you've really got a year's worth of food, and it's not a year's worth of, you know, I don't want to say garbage because it's not garbage, but, yeah. You know, it's there was no truth in the advertising years ago. There still isn't with a lot of these places.
Right.
Well, that's why we got into the food, is I wanted to do it differently. Like, this is really what you need to survive. And I'm sure if you've ever been in a stressful situation, you know, even in your day-to-day lives, I mean, if you just have a rough day at work, like, what's the one thing at the end of the day that makes you feel good? A good meal. You know, like a filling meal. Like, I mean, I know when I have a bad day, I look forward to getting home, sitting down at dinner, and having a good meal with my family. That's what we put into these buckets, because in a survival situation when you're stressed like that, the last thing you need to be worrying about is eating a pile of crackers for dinner. Like, I want a good meal at the end of the day. I want a good meal for breakfast. I want a good meal for lunch. You know, I was just looking at somebody was trying to get us to put MREs on our site, and I just don't want that stuff. I mean,
I knew you were going there with that. You said crackers. I went, we must be talking about MREs again.
Yeah. Like, I just don't want crackers. I mean, look, Dave, here's the thing. Like, and this became apparent to me when COVID hit. What's the first thing they told us to do when COVID hit? The very first thing, go home and shelter in place. Everybody thinks of a survival situation as you're going to have to go out into the woods, learn to start a campfire, learn to filter water. If I take my wife into the woods, I don't have to worry about survival because she's going to kill me. I want to be at home. I want to be at home. Yeah. I want to take care of myself at home. I want to sleep in my own bed. So we have to make sure that what we need for a survival situation is at home. And a lot of people haven't even taken 30 minutes to figure that out.
No, I get it.
The great thing is, shelter is a big thing. You're at home. Shelter's taken care of. So now you need water and you need food. Do you have the ability to store water? Do you have the ability to filter water? You know, your food, like you talked about with your freezers, we sell the water bricks. It's a great way to store water. And trust me, we've tried all this stuff. You know what I mean? I tried the 50-gallon drums of water. I've tried the 1,000-gallon drums of water. Those things are tough to move around. The 3.5-gallon jug of water that's stackable, my 6-year-old can carry it. We can set it on the counter and get water out of it. You know what I mean? I'm not running outside at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get water out of a 1,000-gallon drum or a 50-gallon tote. Like, the water bricks work perfect. The water bottles we have will filter anything you need. There's a pump-to-pure system. It's a mechanical system. It's a handheld mechanical system that is a great way to filter water. Doesn't rely on generators. Doesn't rely on solar panels. Like,
I know it.
Anybody can do it.
We got 1 minute left, and I want to talk about logistics here in this last minute before we go and conclude today's episode. Understand that when the power goes out, and or you're in a situation where you have to survive, if you don't have emergency food storage and you haven't started growing seeds yet, then you're going to have to start growing seeds. Otherwise, you're going to run out of food when this runs out, and you need to replenish your food supply with fresh foods and veggies, which is why we sell the heirloom seeds at Heaven's Harvest. And you should stock up while you have the opportunity to here on the Power Hour. Call the Power Mall right now and get that going, because you're only going to have so much time and so much food. You're going to need at least a couple of months of food, because those seeds aren't going to grow overnight. You can sprout some stuff, but it's not going to be sufficient enough. You need storage food to help you.
You ain't seen the price of food go up yet. It's about to get real. If you've ever thought about putting a garden in the ground, this year would be a good year to start.
It sure would, and we have, and we appreciate you being on the show, Clayton. We'll have to have you back. In the meantime, folks, say a big prayer for the United States of America and for what's going on in New York right now for President Trump. And we will see you tomorrow with more news and information here on the Power Hour. Dave Prieger with you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD, or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.